accused is charged with willful and deliberate violation of various and sundry royal and parliamentary edicts. His trial this day, however, respects a single charge, namely, violation of the Conventicle Acts. The Conventicle Acts is this, which prohibits all British subjects from absenting themselves from worship in the Church of England. In other words, it was mandatory by law every adult person and every child attend services in the Church of England. Judge Wingate, to this man being accused of that, "You stand before this court accused of persistent and willful transgression of the Conventicle Act, which prohibits all British subjects from absenting themselves from worship in the Church of England and from conducting worship services apart from our church. You come presumably with no legal counsel, no legal training, and yet without counsel." The judge said to this man, "I must warn you, sir, of the gravity of the charge, the harshness of the penalty in the event of your conviction, and the foolhardiness of acting as your own counsel in so serious a matter. Are you cognizant of these facts, and do you understand the charge?" "I am, and I do, my lord," said the man. Judge Wingate, "In truth, I hope you do. Now I hold in my hand the depositions of the witnesses against you, handing against you. In each case, they have testified that to their knowledge, you have never in your adult life attended services in the Church of England, of your parish. Each further testifies that he has observed you on numerous occasions conducting religious exercises in and near Bedford in England. These depositions have been read to you, have they not?" "They have, my lord," said the man. "In that case, then this court would be profoundly interested in your response." The man's response: "Thank you, my lord, and may I say that I am grateful for the opportunity to respond. Firstly, the depositions speak the truth. I have never attended services in the Church of England, nor do I intend ever to do. Secondly, it is no secret that I preach the Word of God whenever, wherever, and to whomever He pleases to grant me opportunity to do so. Having said that, my lord, there is a weightier issue that I am constrained to address. I have no choice but to acknowledge my awareness of the law which I am accused of transgressing. Likewise, I have no choice but to confess my guilt and my transgression of it. As true as these things are, I must affirm that I neither regret breaking the law nor repent of having broken it. Further, I must warn you that I have no intention in future of conforming to it. It is on its face an unjust law, a law against honorable men, in which honorable men shrink from protesting. In truth, my lord, it violates an infinitely higher law, the right of every man to seek God in his own way, unhindered by any temporal power. That, my lord, is my response." Judge Wingate: "This court would remind you, sir, that we are not here to debate the merits of the law. We are here to determine if you are, in fact, guilty of violating it. The man, perhaps, my Lord, that is why you are here, but it is most certainly not why I am here. I am here because you compel me to be here. All I ask is to be left alone, to preach and to teach as God directs me. As, however, I must be here, I cannot fail to use these circumstances to speak against what I know to be an unjust and odious edict. Judge Wingate, let me understand you. You are arguing that every man has a right given him by the Almighty to seek the deity in his own way, even if he chooses without benefit of the English church. The man's response, that is perfect, that is precisely what I am arguing, my Lord, or without benefit of any church. Judge Wingate, do you know what you are saying? What of Papists and Quakers, the Catholics and the Quakers? And they were both radical, out of tune with the Word of God, Quakers and Catholics at that time. What of pagan Mohammedans? Have they the right to seek God in their own misguided way? Even these, my Lord. Judge Wingate, may I ask if you are particularly sympathetic to the views of these or other such deviant religious societies? I am not, my Lord. Judge Wingate, yet you affirm a God-given right to hold any alien religious doctrine that appeals to the warped minds of men. I do, my Lord. Judge Wingate, I find your views impossible of belief. And what of those who, if left to their own devices, would have no interest in things heavenly? Have they the right to be allowed to continue unmolested in their error, which they were not under the Church of England? The man's response, it is my fervent belief that they do, my Lord. Judge Wingate, and on what basis, might I ask, can you make such a rash affirmation? Man answered, on the basis, my Lord, that a man's religious views or lack of them are matters between his conscience and his God, and are not the business of the crown, the parliament, or even, with all due respect, my Lord, of this court. However much I may be in disagreement with another man's sincerely held religious beliefs, neither I nor any other may disallow his right to hold these beliefs. No man's right in these affairs are secure in every other man's right if every other man's rights are not equally secure. Baptists, my friend, are the only group or people that hold to the Baptist doctrine that you and I serve under today. We are the only group, even today in America, with what we would call somewhat fundamental other Christians, we're the only ones that absolutely hold to sole authority to believe what you want to believe, right or wrong. The Judge Wingate, it is obvious, sir, that you are a victim of deranged thinking. If my ears deceive me not, I must infer from your words that you believe the state to have no interest in the religious life of its subjects. The man's response. The state, my Lord, may have an interest in anything in which it wishes to have an interest. But the state has no right whatsoever to interfere in the religious life of its citizens. This is absolutely contrary to the law of the land. Judge Wingate, you are a tinker by trade, are you not, mister? That is correct, my lord. Would you mind apprising this court of the extent of your formal schooling? Not at all, my lord. Able I am to read and write, and that with difficulty. Judge Wingate, I surmised as much. I think I perceive why you are unable to appreciate the disaster that would accompany your views should ever they hold sway in our society. I myself, and I say this in all modesty, the judge, am not inconsiderably trained in the historian's discipline. If you were half so well versed yourself, you would instantly recognize the fatal flaw in your reasoning. Throughout history, virtually every significant human tragedy has come about as a result of divergent religious views. And to that, you can say amen. Nation against nation, brother against brother, war, destruction, devastation, time and time again. And why? I should tell you why, said the judge. It is because men cannot agree on which God to worship and how to worship Him. Now, after long and arduous struggle, we have succeeded in foregoing a conformity in the religious beliefs of all Englishmen. All our problems will be resolved when everyone agrees to accommodate himself and adopt the same orthodoxy of religious opinion. No more religious wars. No more divisive doctrinal disputes. Think of it, mister. Does not this portend a society of which any man would be proud and happy to be a part? The man's answer, to a degree, my lord, it admittedly does. But only if everyone can be convicted by virtue of reason alone to adopt identical views of God. The society that you describe is an appealing one, but I fear the cost is far too high. It would necessitate that honest men repudiate convictions honestly held. In other words, compromise. What are we hearing in America today? Let's all just get along. Why are you so hard-nosed? Judge Wingate, you are, mister, a strong-willed and opinionated man. Yet this court finds it fascinating to speak with you and wishes time permitted further discussion of our respective philosophies. But alas, time is passing swiftly and other cases await our attention. Let us move then to the matter before us, shall we? Remember, the judge is speaking now. The evidence I hold in my hand, even apart from your own admission of guilt, is sufficient to convict you, and the court is within its rights to have you committed to prison for a considerably long time. I do not wish to send you to prison. I am aware of the property of your family, and I believe you have a little daughter who unfortunately was born blind. Is this not so? It is, my lord. Judge Wingate, very well. The decision of the court is this. Inasmuch as the accused has confessed his guilt, we shall follow a merciful and compassionate course of action. We shall release him on the condition that he swear solemnly to discontinue the convening of religious meetings, and that he affixed his signature to such an oath prior to quitting the courtroom. That will be all, mister. I hope not to see you here again. May we hear the next case, please? My lord, if I may have another moment of the court's time. Yes, but you be quick about it. We have other matters to attend to. What is it? I cannot do what you ask of me, my lord. I cannot place my signature upon any document in which I promise henceforth not to preach. My calling to preach the gospel is from God, and he alone can make me discontinue what he has appointed me to do. As I have had no word from him to that effect, I must continue to preach, and I shall continue to preach. Mister, you are trying the patience of this court. That is not my intention, my lord. Judge Wingate, I warn you, sir, the court has gone the second mile to be lenient with you out of concern for your family's difficult affairs. Truth to tell, it would appear that the court's concern for your family far exceeds your own. Do you wish to go to prison? No, my lord. Few things there are that I would wish less. Judge Wingate. Very well then, Mr. Bunyan. I just told you who he is. John Bunyan. Very well then, Mr. Bunyan. This court will make one further attempt in good faith to accommodate what appears to be strongly held convictions on your part. In his compassion and beneficence, our sovereign Charles II has made provision for dissenting preachers to hold some limited meetings. You notice it said limited meetings. All that is required is that such ministries procure licenses authorizing them to convene these gatherings. The court will not require you to sign any documents, but will require only your verbal commitment to proceed through proper channels to obtain licenses. You will not find the procedure burdensome, and even you, Mr. Bunyan, must surely grant the legitimacy of the state's interest in ensuring that any fool with a Bible does not simply gather a group of people together and begin to preach to them. Imagine the implications were that to happen. Can you comply with this condition, Mr. Bunyan? Before you answer, mark you this. Should you refuse, the court will have no alternative but to sentence you to a prison term. Think, sir, of your poor wife. Think of your children, and particularly of your pitiful, sightless little girl. By the way, that little girl was a very, very, very spiritual-minded little girl. Had she been standing right beside her dad, I believe her answer would have been, "Go after him, Dad. Go get him." Think of your flock who can hear you to their heart's content when you have secured your license. Boy, they put that carrot out there. Think of these things and give us your answer, sir. My lord, I appreciate the court's efforts to be, as you have put it, accommodating. But again, I must refuse your terms. I must repeat that it is God who constrains me to preach. No man or company or men or company of men may grant or deny me leave to preach. These licenses of which you speak, my Lord, are symbols not of a right, but of a privilege. Implied therein is the principle that a mere man can extend or withhold them according to his whim. I speak not of privileges, but of rights. Privileges granted by men may be denied. Rights are granted by God and can be legitimately denied by no man. I must therefore refuse to comply. Last paragraph, Judge Wingate. Very well, Mr. Bunyan. Since you persist in your intractability, and since you reject this court's honest effort at compromise, you leave us no choice but to commit you to the Bedford Gaol or jail for a period of 6 years. If you manage to survive, I should think that your experience will correct your thinking. In any event, I strongly suspect that we have heard the last we shall ever hear from Mr. John Bunyan. Now may we hear the next case. Do we have men with that kind of conviction today? I want to be one. Are you one? The day's coming. Now, some of us with gray hair, we're probably not going to be around. I'm talking now primarily to the middle-aged and younger people. It's coming. The state is coming. I mean, just watch the news and what's going on. Oh, they pacify us here and there, but it's coming. Hate laws right now in Canada. Preachers that have preached on the radio against homosexuality are in jail. The day's going to come that what's preached from this pulpit will try to be altered by the laws of the land. But I think I can speak for Pastor Jerry and myself and the caliber of men that will be coming in here, and hopefully the caliber of men and women and children that we've got sitting here, that if they come in and padlock the doors in here, that we'll still stay here and preach, we'll sing, we'll win souls to the Lord, we'll preach the word of God, and if they take us as a whole group, they'll have to put us all in prison together. We will not give up. Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. I don't think we have righteous in authority now. I'm thankful for a president who's trying to do what he can for Christianity. But I believe his hands are tied. He's got no helpers except God. But God and Mr. Trump are a majority. God and me are a majority. God and you are a majority. What's going to come our way in the near future? I don't know. But I see within a generation, we're going to revert back to 1660. And we're either going to stand or we're going to fall. We are now 242 years into our country's independence. We, for the most part, have had religious liberty. although many good, godly men and women have sacrificed home and body and life for what we've had in our lifetime. I'm talking about military people that have fought and won wars of independence for us in America, that we have the privilege of living in our own home, driving our own car, earning our own money, eating our own food with nobody's authority over us. Now, I realize there's laws that we're going to abide, and we need to abide by the laws of the land that are for the good. But when it comes to religious liberty, they have no good. They have no authority. Although not all presidents, leaders, judges, and other forms of leadership have all been saved, godly Christian men and women, they were bound by the laws that were, for the most part, in agreement with the Bible. The American system of government, you can trace back to Moses and his father-in-law on the Supreme Court. Remember when Moses had the whole nation of Israel coming before him? And his father-in-law said, "Why do you take so much on yourself? Why not appoint others?" And he did, and it worked. And we've got now the Supreme Court and all the various other courts underneath that all came from the Bible. We've fought wars for independence and to stay independent all these years. But since World War II, we have fought, but not to maintain our freedom. In many cases, have seen the freedoms eroded in favor of non-Americans and non-American values. Is this not what we're seeing right now in the gun control? I don't care if you're for gun control or against it. That's beside the point. But all these little teeny boppers out there now that are getting all the headlines and all the control. Look what happened in Germany. How did Hitler take over? He had the kids in there. He actually took the kids out of the home into a state school, and they weren't even allowed to go home. But here in America, they've done the same thing through our educational system now and have infiltrated our public schools and have brainwashed our kids into thinking that religion's bad and everybody has their rights, but nobody has responsibilities. Proverbs 29:12. If a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. If the premise of any intention is made on lies, then there could be no solid footing. It, at best, is on a slippery slope. Breaks my heart. I love America. I served my time in the military. I was not in a war. But if I'd been called during that time, I would have gone gladly. To see so much rebellion against our godly country. Oh, it was ungodly people. We're all ungodly people. But to see it going down, it's just history repeating itself. It's happened all over. My question is this: do you and I have the courage of John Bunyan? When it comes, will we stand together as a unit, or will we fall by the wayside? Young people, it's in your court. God's going to call some of you to preach, teach, be deacons, be leaders in the church, and you're going to have to take a strong stand, because they're going to come after you, and they'll come after you with all the army out of hell. And it may come to where you have to go to prison. Let me close with this. Jonathan or John Bunyan, went to prison. What happened when he was in prison? He wrote Pilgrim's Progress. How many of you realize he wrote anything more than Pilgrim's Progress? You knew that. I wasn't aware of all of it until just recently. I was in a man's office Tuesday night. He took me into his office and showed me the volumes that he had bought of Jonathan Wingate's sermons, word for word sermons, all of his writing on stories, some of the allegorical stories, the Pilgrim's Progress. Three volumes, this tall, this thick, three volumes of all of his writing. There was a period of time after he served the first 6 years he was out, and he was able to minister to his congregation. And at home, his wife asked him, "Why aren't you working on some of your writing?" He's a prolific writer. He said, "I know I'll be going back to prison, and I can concentrate better." He had a desk and a little place there that he and God got alone and did a job. See, a lot of good can come out of a lot of bad. His children, John Bunyan's children, his oldest son, rebelled, went out into the world, dancing, drinking, card playing. For a while, all of his other children, faithful to the Lord. That little blind girl was his inspiration over and over. And they sang together. And she would quote verses. Because she was blind, she would memorize scripture and would just spurt out verse after verse after verse to John Bunyan. And what an encouragement she was. Young people, be an encouragement to your folks. Maybe they need it. Maybe they're going through something you don't know they're going through. But God can take every one of us where we're at and make something out of us. Whether it be freedom to preach on the hilltops, or whether it be in jail to preach to other prisoners, don't ever shut your mouth. Don't ever give up. Don't ever feel sorry for yourself. Don't be so sympathetic to yourself that you become no earthly good or no heavenly good. God can use you. He will use you. And he will bless you in a way that John Bunyan was. And to this day, his name is known. His books are published in almost every known language. Judge Wingate said, "John Bunyan, I doubt that we'll ever hear your name again." Heavenly Father, thank you for letting me share this. What a blessing it's been to my heart to study it. I don't want to be a wimp. I don't want to give in. I don't believe that I'll have to fight like John Bunyan did to stand against the court. But if it comes, give me the backbone, the courage, and the power of the Holy Spirit to not turn against Scripture, but to strengthen myself up and proclaim the Word of God, even if they're striking me dead as I do it. God, I want that kind of courage. And I pray for America. I pray that you would forgive us. We're an evil, wicked, sinful country. my grandparents would not even recognize the surface of it, let alone the depths of degradation. God help us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.